All this week, we're checking in with a cross-section of industries about becoming more resilient in the event of a disaster. What happens to patients in dialysis centers when there isn't water or power and they can't stay open? How do patients get their medicines if pharmacies are closed? What about our stockpile of medical supplies? We pose those scenarios to Chris Crabtree, Director of Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management.
We don't have the large warehouses like they do on the mainland. So consequently, healthcare facilities, when they order things, it's just in time. For example, they know that the next shipment will be coming in at this time, and it's scheduled, it's planned. So any interruption of that supply chain is extremely detrimental to the normal flow of healthcare, rather, in Hawaii. So one of the premise of why we were built, and I'm getting to how we're doing things, because that's basically the impetus for why we were formed, because of that vulnerability, is we're able to, as a coalition, which includes all the hospitals, long-term care, pretty much the healthcare continuum, we're able to leverage what we have here rather than because we don't have these large warehouses. So we're able to, through a prioritization process, through a collaboration, share what we have in order to sustain us for a longer period of time. And that's a big part of what we do, support logistics. Just because our main mission, or one of our main priorities, rather, is to sustain existing patient services. And how that translates to the community is so they can access health care. So what we do is we keep the healthcare facilities as much as we can afloat so they can continue to serve the community and provide that access and meet that need.
And when we had folks in here from the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, they talked about healthcare was, they thought, pretty good as far as their supplies, that you folks have done that groundwork.
Yeah, we're good in the sense of our strong collaboration and being able to leverage what we have. The challenge part is being able to sustain and maintain stockpiles that we have due to reduced funding and such. Yes, when we looked at the industry across the board and how long each one could sustain, depending on the type of an event and how many days, et cetera, healthcare actually came out fairly strong. Due to that process of being able to leverage and being able to move things. And like, for example, if dialysis was short on these items, we could leverage either other dialysis centers, or if it was a general healthcare item supply, that we could leverage it from another facility and get that to them so that they could keep going.
Right. And I know we saw in Puerto Rico, I think they provide some supplies for the pharmaceutical industry, and because they were devastated there, that meant shortfalls across the country.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge on twofold. It's sustaining in our inpatient population within the healthcare facilities, but then you have the public health pieces. We have a lot of our residents and tourists are on chronic medications, and some of the diabetics are on insulin that need to be refrigerated. So you can imagine when you have a catastrophic event, what that's going to do if you don't have enough, let's say, for example, two-week supply of medications, and all of a sudden your primary pharmacy is closed because of the event. They have no power. So how do you get that? We saw this a lot in Irma. I was deployed for Hurricane Irma in Lower Key West. There were a lot of the residents had medications to a certain point, but after about a week, week and a half, they were running out. So they were searching for options. So what we did is we worked with the counties and the states down there in order to find which pharmacies were open and how to kind of bridge that. If your prescription was at this pharmacy and they're not open, how do we get you medications from another facility? And in a nutshell, that ended up being is they would just come into our field hospital or the hospital that was across the street that was badly damaged and just go through a quick assessment, and then that physician would write. So we're looking at other things, though, here. You know, we're working with the Department of Health. Does a public health physician, would that be sufficient? And having in some shelters or deploying them to certain shelters to be able to assist that? Alternative care sites, how can we keep them going? Because the problem is if our population who needs these chronic medications, if they're not able to continue to get what they normally get and it becomes an acute event and they have to come to the hospitals, we're talking about more surge. It's not good for them and it's not good for the hospitals, just because you want to be able to.
Well, you're already stressed,
right.
I would think, yeah,
sure.
If there was a disaster struck, and then you'd have to deal with additional patients coming in. And then there are lots of issues, you know, whether patients at home that rely on electricity as a lifeline for whatever machines they might have in their home to keep them going, whether you are on dialysis and have to go to a dialysis clinic. They need power. They need water. And then if getting those key utilities up. Lots of questions, you know, that then we have to figure, okay, how do we deal with all this? One of the issues I know that Hawaii Emergency Management Agency officials are concerned about is staffing. You know, that during a disaster, a lot of the folks at these medical facilities may not be fully staffed, and yet you've got more patients to deal with in a more critical situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we tell them for planning purposes is, consider about 30 to 40% of your works, your staff may not be able to make it in. So there's a couple things that we encourage them to do in order to almost provide an incentive for coming in. Because a lot of the reasons, sometimes it's a barrier, right? You cannot just get in. Sometimes it's there's a block there. The police aren't letting anybody in, but we can work with them to get the healthcare essential personnel in. That's fairly easy. But the other part is families, and families always first, and we have that mantra. But at the same time, is if we can provide some type of an incentive, for example, is if we say, okay, bring your family, the healthcare workers. If you bring your family to a facility. And they can bring some of their supplies with them, and you know that they're in a safe place. You will be able to work. You'll be able more effective and more efficient because you won't have that worry on your mind. And so sometimes a better place is a shelter. But in absence of that, for the healthcare worker, we're encouraging our facilities, and a lot of them do have plans in order to take care of families. And what do you do when those families include pets as mm-hmm. well? Because I can tell you, within my family, we would be bringing my two dogs to my workplace in order for me to continue to do what I need to do. And I would do that anyhow, but what it does is it provides that peace of mind, and so that you're more effective and your mind isn't wandering somewhere else worrying about, are they going to be okay?
Right, and if there was a need to bring in crews to help relieve the crews that are stressed, then the question is, okay, and then where do you house them if they're coming in and if all our hotels are filled with tourists trying to get the next flight out, if planes are even flying? I mean, there are all these considerations. There is the military's mercy ship, but I understand that that depends, too, on where it is at the time a disaster strikes and how soon they could come into port to help facilitate, you know, taking care of patients.
Absolutely, and it's fairly slow, and it's ability to get it's not built for speed.
It's a big ship.
So it's a big ship, and you know, we're looking forward to maybe it coming here this summer. Not sure if that's going to work out. We sometimes do exercises with them.
Right, and the mercy ships, for folks who don't know, they're basically floating hospitals.
Absolutely.
That are deployed in time of need.
Sure. And when we talk about the staffing piece as well, is that's part of our memorandum of understanding that we have, and part of what my group does is coordinating that whole piece and managing that whole piece.
Chris Crabtree, director of Hawaii Healthcare Emergency Management, says in an emergency, it may be that dialysis patients will be directed to central facilities or, if need be, sent off island. Everyone should have a go bag complete with medications if you have to seek emergency shelter, and it's recommended that you have enough food for at least a couple of weeks or a month on hand.